Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. We have some great conversations ahead of us today, giving thanks to God for the veterans in our lives who have served so faithfully to protect us and to protect others around the world and to preserve peace. And so we're going to give thanks to God for them in a number of conversations today. Hope you can join us for those. Thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO. You can find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin on the KFUO website. Go to kfuo.org and look for the CUW logo, Concordia University, Wisconsin, in the sponsor section there. You'll find out more about them just by clicking on that. Oh, well, we have several conversations ahead of us today. We are going to talk with Adam Armstrong. He's a peer support specialist for the At Ease program with Lutheran Family Services of Nebraska. We'll also talk with Chaplain Marino, Mike Marino from Operation Barnabas, and we'll learn about a children's book to help us teach our children about veterans. Let's see how much history you know about Veterans Day. When did it all begin? Well, November 11th, 1918, the 11th day, well, the 11th hour of the 11th day and the 11th month, that would be when the fighting ceased, an armistice, temporary cessation of hostilities between the Allied nations and Germany went into effect. And so that day was when the Great War, we know it as World War I, ended. And it wasn't until then, 1938, when an act made November 11th Armistice Day, and that was primarily a day set aside to honor veterans of World War I. But then in 1954, after World War II had required so many soldiers and sailors and Marines and airmen in the nation's history, and American forces had fought in aggression in Korea, Congress then, at the urging of veteran service organizations, amended the act of 1938, striking out the word armistice and inserting in place the word veteran. So it became Veterans Day, and that was approved in legislation on June 1st, 1954. So November 11th became a day to honor American veterans of all wars. And then later that same year, President Dwight Eisenhower issued the first Veterans Day proclamation. Well, today we are giving thanks to God for our veterans here in the United States, and I'm sure wherever you are in the world, you are giving thanks to God for those who work to protect you and protect peace and freedoms and liberties where you live as well. So we have several conversations ahead of us. Hope you can stick around for those conversations and give thanks to God for the veterans in your life as well. Joining me by phone this morning, Chaplain Mike Marino. He is the project manager for Operation Barnabas. It's a ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Pastor Marino, it's good to have you with us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Looking forward to talking with you a little bit about Operation Barnabas again today. I know we've talked about it before, and sharing a little bit about the work of Operation Barnabas, and also giving thanks today to God today for our veterans and those who have served so willingly and so faithfully. Tell us a little bit about Operation Barnabas.
Well, Operation Barnabas was begun in 2007 as an answer to the resolution of our convention at that time, and they really wanted us to be able to provide more services to our service members. We certainly have chaplains who are active duty and reserve who care for members with Word and Sacrament Ministry. But we found that a lot of reservists specifically were struggling because they did not have access to on-base services, and they were geographically separate from those services. So we wanted to see if we could equip and train our churches to really reach out and provide human care for some of these folks in the name of Christ. And that has been a wonderful blessing, both for those who have been served, as well as our churches and members who have had the opportunity to serve with the love of Christ for our members.
And what are some of the things that Operation Barnabas has been up to recently, some of the projects that you've been working on?
Well, actually, we've kind of shifted gears a little bit. When we first began, there was a lot of deployment care, meaning we would send packages, work with folks who were leaving and coming back. But those deployments have slowed down a great deal. And so now, really, we are focusing on preparing our congregations and, to a large extent, our communities to receive a lot of these warfighters who are now leaving the service. The services are downsizing, so a lot of folks are coming back to our communities trying to make a new start there. But three really critical areas that they need help in are jobs, medical care, and for education. And we know that our congregations, both our members, pastors, can impact the community and help lead that community to address some of these issues. So we are very excited about that new tone that we have of really caring for the warfighters and welcoming them back to our communities and, by God's grace, to our congregations.
Very good, very good. Now, you certainly work, I'm sure, in partnership with congregations and other organizations. As I understand correctly, not too long ago, there was a film that was shared. Tell me a little bit about that.
That movie was called Project 22. It was produced really on a shoestring budget by two Iraq war veterans. They had seen the numbers of 22 veterans a day who were losing to suicide, and they wanted to make a statement. So they made this movie, and they rode across America on motorcycles, which kind of appeals to military folks. But in that trip, they visited with folks who had suffered from PTSD and had taken different avenues of care, some from a spiritual perspective, some from art, or some from working with horses, but any number of avenues that was able to help improve their condition. Also, they spoke to experts, to mental health professionals, but the main message of that movie was there is hope. A lot of folks who are dealing with PTSD and other issues really become isolated, and they also believe that they can't get any better. And we want to share that, yes, you can get better, and you can have a life that you can enjoy as opposed to one that is really, really difficult. And, of course, from the church's perspective, we know who brings that healing, that is Christ. And many of these folks who are dealing with PTSD really suffer so much from guilt, guilt that is real or imagined. And while the U.S. government has a large supply line, and you can order bullets, bombs, beans, papers, the one thing the government is not in the business of dispensing is the forgiveness, is absolution. And we have the unique role to be able to share that forgiveness in Christ with these veterans.
How does PTSD affect not only the veteran, but loved ones, family members, when they return home?
Well, when one is suffering from PTSD, one of the first things that occurs is that the emotions really shut off. It's hard to be vulnerable. It's hard to trust. And it's hard to feel much of anything. Well, in a family, it's built on love and trust. And this bond between husband and wife, father and child, mother and child. If those bonds are not nurtured and fed, the family fractures. And we have far too many folks who really are struggling with that. And also, when veterans really are in the depths of this depression, an incorrect belief, but one that is very strong in their minds, is really, I'm broken. I'm unworthy. And it's better for my family if I were separate from them. And so we see a lot of divorce where the warfighter will think, I can no longer function as a husband. I can't provide emotional care. I may not be able to work. Therefore, I should not be here. In the best case scenario, that would be simply a separation. Worst case scenario, some of our veterans feel that they ought not be on the earth at all. So PTSD and those issues are insidious and something that we need to be dealing with on a regular and daily basis.
So how then do we care for these veterans as they return home? What can we do as family members? What can we do as congregations? What can we learn from, or what can we gain from partnering with Operation Barnabas?
Well, the first thing that we can do is pray. And I know that's often like, mm-hmm. Oh, well, that's the first thing, and it's almost a throwaway line. But it's not. As a matter of fact, I was rereading a book by John Kleinig, Grace Upon Grace. And he tells the story of a young girl in a confirmation class, and they're trying to figure out how can they best care for their friends, their parents, etc. And she says, really, the best thing that we could ever do is to pray for them, to bring their needs before the throne of God. And that is so, so critically important. So that is the first thing. The second thing, though, is to educate yourself. really a lot of our family members, a lot of our congregation members are at a loss. They don't know what to do. How do I help? And there are a myriad of resources, both from the Veterans Administration, from our website, Operation Barnabas, lcms.org/Operation Barnabas, where you can begin to understand, get more information about what PTSD is, what it's not, and how we can become more aware. And then there's really a two-step process that I share with folks. One, whoever's dealing with a PTSD, someone suffering from PTSD, whoever that caregiver is, they need to access care for themselves. This is a long journey, a long struggle. So self-care for that provider, for that caregiver, is critical because you're going to run a marathon. So we want to put some supports in place for that wife, for that parent, for that friend, and then equip them to reach out to that veteran. And if one is a civilian, one does not have time in uniform, there's a little chasm there where I may not be able to talk to them about these experiences, but you can share love, care, concern, and continue to reach out with words, with thoughts, with actions, and also continuing to search for more information. And best case scenario, you might be the route or the avenue where you direct this person suffering from PTSD or other mental health issues to the help that they need. That may be getting them into the VA. That may be talking with an American Legion rider, the folks who ride the motorcycles, and just saying, hey, would you visit with my friend? But really, what we seek to do with those suffering from this is to end the isolation. And so what that really involves is them making some kind of connection, either with you or with someone that you put them in contact with. And it's really a lifeline. Once they make that relationship connection, they can begin to see that they're not alone. And that really is the first step towards healing.
And this Veterans Day, I know that you know many veterans and are very thankful for many veterans, but are there any that any that are very near to you that you want to say thank you to, or that you want to mention today?
Oh, well, actually, he always comes to mind this Veterans Day is my chaplain assistant in the Navy. We call them religious program specialists. His name is Michael King. He lives in Florida. And his job was to keep me alive in Iraq, and obviously he succeeded. So I'm so very grateful. When I'm thinking about other things, his job was my security and my safety. And this does hit home for me because he is suffering from PTSD. We went through many of the same experiences, and there's no rhyme or reason why it may affect one and not the other. But he's someone that continues to struggle with some of those issues. And so I keep him in my prayers, and I'm so grateful for what he's given to me. And I look to hopefully repay and to be able to revisit him on a regular basis and share whatever encouragement and prayers that I can.
Very good. Thank you. And thanks for being our guest today, Chaplain Mike Marino, a project director with Operation Barnabas. Thanks for being our guest on Faith and Family today.
Thanks so much, Andy. Take care.
Worldwide KFUO would like to invite you to start and end your day with prayer. At 9 a.m., join us for morning prayer as we look into the Word of God, we pray, and sing sacred music. At 6 p.m., we gather for evening prayer once again as we hear the Word of God, pray, and rejoice in His gift of music. Lift up your heart to heaven with Worldwide KFUO.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of inspiration and action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute.
I pray you have a pro-life pastor who talks about God's will on abortion and how you can help save babies. Those in the United Methodist Church aren't so blessed. They strongly support abortion and are even a member of a so-called religious pro-abortion coalition. Pastor John Swomley said, abortion is a positive decision and not a lesser evil. It is therefore pro-family and pro-life. Remember, we're talking about killing innocent babies in the womb. Reverend Karen Van Noy said, I am willing to take whatever heat would be generated by my support of what I think is right and in God's will. It's no wonder United Methodist churches are closing across the country. We can help your pastor speak out on abortion. Go to lifeissues.org and click on the microphone icon.
Follow us on Twitter at LifeIssuesUSA and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
Hi, my name is Matt Zuschel, a junior at Lutheran High School North in St. Louis. It's hard for teens to stay firm in their faith as they go through high school. We certainly don't get much support from our culture, and it's tough for our parents and churches to do it alone. That's why I'm at a Lutheran school preparing me to succeed in college, serve as a Christian leader, and remain rock solid in my faith. Have you checked out Lutheran schools lately? Learn more at lhsnstl.org. lhsnstl.org.
This is Pastor Herb Miller, First Vice President of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Every aspect of our teaching is designed to bring comfort to penitent sinners. That is, people who are hurt and broken by sin and death and all the vicissitudes of this life. KFUO is centered around bringing this gospel into the lives of our listeners in the St. Louis area and by means of the internet far beyond. My wife and I for years have been day sponsors. Our day is June 21st. Actually, this year we're celebrating 40 years of marriage on that day. KFUO brings the gospel into the hearts and minds and lives of so many people here and around the world.
This is Mary Schmidt. To be a day sponsor, call me 314-996-1518.
Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. We are giving thanks to God for our veterans today. Joining me by phone today, Adam Armstrong is the peer support specialist for the At Ease program with Lutheran Family Services of Nebraska. Adam, welcome to Faith and Family.
Hey, thanks for the welcome. Great to be here.
Looking forward to chatting with you about your life as a veteran, your work with the At Ease program at Lutheran Family Services in Nebraska, and partnering with Operation Barnabas. Tell us about your service, Adam.
Well, I was in the United States Air Force from June of 2002 until August of 2010. I did 4 years of active duty, and then I actually transferred to the Nebraska National Guard in 2006 and got finished with that portion of my service in 2010. Actually, after that, I accepted a couple jobs working back in the Middle East as a contractor, and gosh, the last time that I came home was September of 2011.
What was it that led you to consider serving in the military?
Well, to be completely honest with you, life after high school didn't go exactly the way that I had planned. I had a lot of scholarships at numerous colleges and made a selection. And unfortunately, I just didn't put the time or effort into my studies that I needed to when I found myself not wanting to continue the college life after that happened. I needed to regroup. And I saw the military as an opportunity to hone some skills, and then not only that, but as an opportunity to pay for my schooling. So after September 11th, 2001, of course, I really saw more in that direction. In November of 2001, I was in the recruiter's office, and then by June, I was on my way to San Antonio, Texas for basic training.
What would you say is the most valuable thing you learned or gained from your experience?
You know, I have to say that the number one thing about it was the camaraderie and the brotherhood and sisterhood that I gained through the experience of being in the United States military. There's something about that camaraderie and that brotherhood that just doesn't go away, and it helps you to appreciate more situations as you go through, just getting back into civilian life and to making things known. You always strive to build that bond with whoever it is you're working with. You learn to find that group of people that you can trust, and it really just builds you and helps you build that community.
And so today, serving with the At Ease program of Lutheran Family Services of Nebraska, tell us what is your work as peer support specialist in the At Ease program? What is the At Ease program?
Well, the At Ease program was actually started in 2009 by a pretty prominent businessman who was having struggles because his son was actually deployed to Afghanistan, and he was having struggles with just his son being away from home and not being able to contact him, and he needed somebody to talk to. And many times we find that there are a lot of resources available for veterans, but there's not stuff that's available for the family members. And so after being turned away from a couple organizations, he decided to start his own thing, and that turned into the At Ease program. And we're just the thing that we really strive for is we try and remove the barriers that limit veterans from being successful, and in whatever barrier that might be. So we really try and avoid a lot of the red tape situations and the "I wish I could help you, but" situations, and we try and meet the veteran family member where they're at, identify what those barriers are, and help them set a path or goal, and really strive to help them through that. We work really on a one-on-one basis. Everybody I work with is different, so every situation is different. And by being able to remove that barrier and meet that person in their personal goal, we can really identify and help that person move forward. Not everybody wants to get a master's degree, so we don't want to slay everybody out for that same type of goal. Everybody needs that special attention.
And so tell us, where did the idea for caring for, for our returning military begin with Lutheran Family Services of Nebraska? Has caring for veterans always been a part of Lutheran Family Services of Nebraska? How does it fit in with, I guess, all the other services that Lutheran Family Services of Nebraska offers?
Well, part of Lutheran Family Services is the mental health picture. And so the behavioral health, the mental health picture really fits into what we do with veterans, whether that be a direct mental health issue or even if it turns into just the education piece. Of course, not everybody I deal with is suffering from a mental health disorder, but a lot of the times there's a certain piece of education that's lacking, whether that be as simple as budgeting or how to use veterans benefits. And we can help by maneuvering into that spot and helping to bridge that gap or, like I said before, remove that barrier. Lutheran Family Services, of course, started 126 years ago in Nebraska through adoptive services. And, of course, they're ever evolving with whatever the needs are in the community. So I think that this is just a natural transition to add this as a part of their programming. And to be completely honest with you, I'm not that well-versed on the history of Lutheran Family Services. So to figure out how it fits into the whole game plan, I just know that the passion for me is to work with veterans. And the passion of the organization and through At Ease is to work with veterans. And so, of course, us as veterans, it really mm-hmm. seems like a natural fit no matter where we go.
What is the day-to-day or even the special things about your work that you really enjoy?
You know, no 2 days for me are the same. I'm talking to you from in my car right now, which I like to call my mobile office. I see this windshield more often than I see basically anything else. The opportunity to meet veterans where they are. It's not a, "Hey, when you come to me, I'm going to give you help." It's, "I will be there for you in the spot that you're in. We'll come to meet you. We'll take you where you need to go. Whatever it is that you're dealing with, let's find out what we can do to help eliminate that and see where we can go." So a day-to-day for me might be, I just had lunch with an individual from a multicultural coalition. We were talking about veterans who come to the States and end up going into the military, but maybe their families aren't even in the same country. We're talking about dealing with services for them. Day might be the suicide prevention efforts, which we're very big on. If you're aware of the statistic, we lose 22 veterans a day to suicide, and we think that's 22 too many. So I think that the number one thing that I take away from the Lutheran Family Services At Ease program is the fact that I am able to meet a veteran where they are, and I am able to treat that individual as that. I am able to deal with them as an individual and fill those individual needs.
What have you learned about our veterans as you've worked with them in the At Ease program? What are some things that you've learned in your time working with through as the peer support specialist there?
I see so much potential in individuals that it's amazing for me to see how, when given the opportunities and when those barriers are removed, how well we can remove that stigma and get people recharged to get out. When I separated in 2006, I had a lot of difficulties through substance abuse, through suicidal thoughts, and a lot of things going on. And it was a group of fellow veterans that finally got me on track and helped me to be a productive member of society. So part of me says that, you know, I owe, and I love to be able to get out and give back in that same fashion. When veterans are five times more likely to start their own business, they're actually more likely to make more money throughout their lifetime than civilian counterparts. Sometimes we just need that little jump start and that somebody to jump in our foxhole to help us get that traction to get going on that path.
Let's talk about partnerships for a little bit. How have you made a connection with Operation Barnabas?
Well, Operation Barnabas actually happened to me by a complete accident. I was standing in a waiting for a plane at Dallas-Fort Worth Airport, and this guy named Mike Moreno introduced himself to me. And 5 minutes conversation turned into exchanging business cards and finding out we were both from the state of Nebraska. And through more conversations, I ended up down into the national conference last year in San Antonio with Mike. And it's really helped us to spread our word through Lutheran Family Services. Obviously, Operation Barnabas is just a great tool for us to work together. So Project 22, and we showed that documentary up in Norfolk, I was more than happy to jump on board with Mike. And we're also... through LFS, we actually have a social gathering that we call Buddy Check that we do, and Mike has jumped in our foxhole on that to help us spread the word and to get people involved on that. So, you know, the more people that are on your team, the further you can go.
And how important are partnerships like this in order to serve and care for our veterans?
Partnerships are vital no matter where you're at and what industry you're in. And the reason that is because there's so many gaps that fall into these service organizations. And there's limitations in organizations, whether it be monetary, whether it be the people that they can serve, whether it be whatever their mission is. You always need that partner to be able to step in either to join you or to take over when it's out of your realm. And I think that that's huge in the individuality of both At Ease and Operation Barnabas, where you can do these things without having so many restrictions, where you can have your congregation's chapter of Operation Barnabas help fill those gaps in your community. The partnerships just become so vital. And like I said before, the more people that are on your team, the better you can serve your community. And I think that goes for the veteran community and the community as a whole.
Well, how can we find out more about the At Ease program that you work with there in Nebraska?
Well, the easiest way actually to get a hold of us is either via phone or via email. My phone number directly to me is 308-850-6101, or you can email me at armstrong@lfsneb.org.
Very good. Thank you so much, Adam, for being our guest today and sharing with us about your work with the At Ease program for Lutheran Family Services of Nebraska and your partnership with Operation Barnabas. It's a blessing to talk with you, a joy to have this time. God bless you this Veterans Day and every day.
Thank you very much, and God bless.
Do you know how your savings and investments are being used by your commercial financial institution? Hi, this is Rich Robertson, President and CEO of the Lutheran Church Extension Fund. We all need to be comfortable with how our money is being used. Recent market jumps really brought that back home for many of us. That's why investing with LCEF is so attractive for so many LCMS members and organizations. Visit lcef.org or call us at 800-843-5233.
Reverend Dr. Matthew C. Harrison of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod recently said these words regarding the importance of the work of Concordia Historical Institute.
When you forget your past, you forget the gospel. You become locked into your own little part of time. As you study the past and know the past and know what happened in the past, you see God at work. And you see Christ.
Discover your Lutheran history at ConcordiaHistoricalInstitute.org.
Worldwide KFUO is easy to find on AM 850 in St. Louis and online at KFUO.org. Through our contacts page online, you can ask us questions. And there is good old snail mail, too. Our street address is KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. The worldwide leader of confessional Lutheranism. Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news for more than 90 years.
We make difficult Bible passages cry uncle.
We put the chokehold on contemporary issues.
We put the chokehold on contemporary issues?
No, sorry, I panicked. It's all I could think of on the spur of the moment.
We're Wrestling with the Basics, Saturday mornings at 9:04 on KFUO AM 850. We put the fun in the fundamentals.
Saturday mornings at 9 on KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Listening to Faith and Family, I'm Andy Bates. We are giving thanks to God for our veterans today. And up next, a really neat piece for families, especially for children, a children's book helping us learn about veterans. The author, Tori Meyer, joining us by phone today. Tori, welcome to Faith and Family.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
So excited to talk about this book. I had a chance to preview it and looking forward to chatting about it today. Tori, share with us a little bit about your connection to veterans. Are there veterans, who are the veterans that are important to you?
I do have a family of veterans. My great-grandpa was World War One, and my grandpa was World War Two. So I think I do have an appreciation for it through my dad. He's a big history buff. But it wasn't until I was older and really started to understand what the veterans mean and what they've done. And then, of course, trying to answer the question for my girls, what is a veteran? And it really made me think,
sure,
what is the answer to that?
What, you know, as children, even as, you know, in grade school, elementary school, when we hear veterans, what do we think of? You know, I know a lot of schools in our area observe Veterans Day and do a lot of service opportunities for veterans in the community. But do we really know what veterans are as children? What do you think a child's concept of a veteran is?
You know, I think that was difficult because at the time when I was writing this, my girls were in kindergarten and younger. And you know, they enjoyed the pictures, and we made a point of going to the nursing home to hand out Valentines. And I think it was overwhelming for them because they don't understand. I don't think they can make the connection yet. You know, but I think at this point, it's important for them to interact with the veterans. So by the time they do understand it, you know, it's all going to come together, and hopefully they will find that thanks, that they were able to say thank you in person before they actually understood it. And after talking to teachers, it sounds like maybe the end of first grade is when they are able to kind of comprehend what's, you know, what is a freedom and discuss it and how did we get our freedoms. So I think then the discussion about the veterans would come in.
When you mentioned earlier, it wasn't until later in life that you really started to comprehend what a veteran is. Was there a pivotal moment that really changed that for you, that helped you learn and understand what a veteran is? What are some of the sacrifices that veterans have made?
You know, I worked at a nursing home when I was in high school, so I just enjoyed that generation and just discussing with them about their life and what they went through. And then after doing research for the book and talking to families and just realizing, you know, in World War II, when everyone banded together as a family, you know, maybe dad did go off to war and then the mom went to work and the kids gave their toys away. You know, it just seemed like such a cohesive effort. And, you know, I appreciate the stories that they have to tell. And so, of course, you know, getting to talk with veterans and just what they went through, but they still have a smile on their face and they are so proud of their country. And just recently I met a 99-year-old World War II veteran. He received a book, and he's just been my biggest fan. He's taking it to libraries, and he said, "You need to have a tissue when you read this book." And it was an unexpected surprise for me that it would touch the veterans that way. You know, my goal is to teach my children about veterans, but they're really enjoying it, and it makes me really happy.
Well, let's talk about your idea for this book and where that began. You mentioned you have children, and when did you first get the idea for this book called Journey Home?
The first moment when I realized they had the question and I needed an answer is we were at the National Western Stock Show in Denver, and they had a booth with the poppies, and I gave each of the girls a dollar. My twins were 5 at the time, and my little one was 3. I gave them a dollar, and I said, "Give them a dollar and say thank you." And they, you know, looked at me like, "You're crazy. You know, why do I give them a dollar and say thank you?" And they didn't understand. And then I didn't have an answer for them of what a veteran was. So, you know, it started actually as paintings. I paint, so I just started painting just some soft pictures and trying to, you know, find an answer through that way, and the words just weren't coming. So I did hire a writing coach to help me along with that. So she helped me put the words together with the pictures with an answer that might work. And I think it was interesting for me to try and find an answer for myself. You know, what is a veteran to me? What is a freedom to me? So I'm better able to teach my children that. And it just became a family learning experience. You know, I would ask them questions to see maybe what they might understand. So when it came to the freedom page, I asked the girls, "Well, what is a freedom to you? Do you know what a freedom is?" And for me to explain it for myself, I mean, we just have so many freedoms, it's hard to actually explain it. So for them, you know, it could be just getting an ice cream or getting in the car and driving anywhere you want to drive, and singing whatever you want to sing, and go to church, and we learn about God in school, you know. And I think just for me to understand what a freedom was, I was able to help them understand what a freedom was in their terms.
The whole story really is told by, well, the story of, from a bird's perspective, right? From the red bird. Where did you get the idea for that?
It was one of the meetings I had with, he's a Korean vet in the Colorado State nursing home. We were visiting them, and he was telling me his stories, and He loves animals and the squirrels and the birds, and the original story started with a tree. I was trying to find this correlation between a veteran and a tree, you know, the strength and their roots and weathering the storms. And so then the bird came along, and it seemed soft to me. You know, war is a difficult subject to talk about, and I wanted to keep it soft. I didn't even want to say the word war. But I have a neighbor who is a teacher, and she said, yes, we have to talk about war. You know, we need the word war.
Mm-hmm.
And so the bird seemed to soften a little bit. And it was really the only way that I could think of that would follow a soldier to, and I actually have a Pastor Keogh who kind of gave me some terms of what he felt, you know, trees and birds were. And he said, it's a bird's eye view.
Mm-hmm.
And I've loved that. So it's a bird's eye view of a child through the eyes of a bird, being able to see where the soldier is going. And that's where the bird came from.
So we have this, as you said, a bird's eye view of this, and you address topics such as freedom and war. Any other topics that come up, or themes that come up in this book that you hope that parents can help their children learn about through this book?
You know, I think because I am not a military family and I don't understand what they've been through or what they are going through, I think the boot on the page with the bird kind of feels like a little bit of closure, and it feels like, you know, they did go through so much and they missed so much with their families, and I don't even know how to paint something like that. So I think the dusty worn boot with a soft bird on it kind of tells me that, you know, everything's going to be okay, you know, and thank you for what you've done, and that we have no idea what mm-hmm. they've been through. Thank you sometimes just doesn't seem enough, you know. So I do think that the boot is probably my favorite and most touching, you know, because we don't know what mm-hmm. they've been through, but they do. And mm-hmm. that we do understand that it was probably not something that they'll ever be able to get over. So I do think that is a good reason to thank our soldiers and veterans, because they have sacrificed so much.
The end of the story, we see the bird, wraps up the story. I don't want to give any, you know, spoilers. I don't want to ruin it for everybody. I want them to check out the book. But also in the back of the book, you have a section called Helpful Information. It's kind of like an appendix in the back of the book of terms, really, that help us understand the veterans and their background and the armed forces, things like that. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, it was helpful information for me. It mm-hmm. started as that. I have never really sat down to define the difference between the Air Force, the Army, Coast Guard, Marine Corps, Navy. You know, it was the military.
Mm-hmm.
But to actually dive in and define it, you know, and doing more research about the categories of military people, you know, and just for a layperson like me that just doesn't, this is not my everyday life, but so important to know. And this is important for me to teach our kids, okay, this is Memorial Day and this is what it means. This is Independence Day. It's not just fireworks, you know, it's a beautiful part of it, but this is what it means. A lot of it was just for my benefit. And I was hoping that after I've printed the book, that it would be a good resource for teachers and parents and people just to have, you know, well, what is this holiday? I can go to the book and look, you know, and suggested ways of gratitude. You know, I just hope a handshake and a thank you for your service is enough.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to show the gratitude that we have for our veterans. But yes, the helpful information started with me, but I hope it is helpful for other people as well.
Certainly. things that we don't necessarily think of or think to ask, or you put it all in one handy spot, to, you know, questions of what are the terms that we use when addressing someone in the military? What are the categories of military people? I love that you've explained that here in this section called Helpful Information, appropriately titled, identifying those days of those major military recognition days that we have throughout the year. Sometimes we don't even think about what those days are. We just know they come up on the calendar. Some of them we observe, some of them we don't. Some of them we may not observe appropriately because we don't know what they're actually all about. So this is a helpful section to the book. How has writing this book helped in your family? I know this started as a quest to answer questions for your family and then decided to share it with others. How has this shaped your children's view and understanding of veterans? Any new, maybe new understanding or new traditions that have developed out of this?
I think any time that I'm able to visit with veterans, I would like them to come with me. So we gave 27 books to the Honor Flight, the people that were going from the Rocky Mountain Division to see their memorials in Washington. And so we were in a room with 27 veterans, and I was luckily enough to have my three girls with me. And we were able to explain the book and say the proceeds go to Honor Flight. We're so thankful for what you do. I mean, these are World War II veterans and Korean veterans. There are Vietnam veterans in there. And then we were able to hand the book out at the end. And a lot of people would come up and ask the girls for their signature as well. And I thought it was very fitting because it was a group effort. It was our family, you know, trying to figure out the best way to explain this. And then, you know, my girls, in the meanwhile, while I was painting, while I was writing, they were doing the same thing. You know, so I was very fortunate to be able to be a mom at the same time as being able to do something like this. And then, of course, having my husband's support, allowing me to make the book the way I wanted to make it. We did self-publish it so we could give the proceeds to Honor Flight. So it was definitely a family effort. And I do think that the girls will remember the day forever that they were in a room with 27 veterans that mm-hmm. we were able to say thank you.
Certainly. You mentioned painting. Did you provide the illustration for this book as well?
Yes.
Wow. Magnificent.
It was, it started out as the paintings. It was easier for me to express the paintings. The words were really difficult, and I was very thankful for the people that helped me along the way. You know, I had a really great editor who, her husband was an ex-Green Beret. Just people just willing to hand out their thoughts and their expertise to make this happen. You know, it's amazing the people that God's placed in my life that has made this possible. Mm-hmm. You know, and it seems like all the gifts that God's given me, he kind of put them in one little package. And now I get it. I understand now.
Well, you mentioned earlier about the proceeds from this book, the proceeds from this book go to Honor Flight, correct?
Yes.
I'm sure many of our listeners are familiar with this, but a little bit about Honor Flight and why you chose to support that with your book.
Honor Flight accepts applications from World War II veterans, Korean veterans, now Vietnam veterans, to visit their memorials in Washington mm-hmm. with no expense. Mm-hmm. It's all funded by Honor Flight. They are fed well. They are greeted by people saying thank you, and they're just treated like royalty, like they should be, for 2 days. And it was so near to my heart because I love that generation, mm-hmm. and they appreciate it so much. I mean, the thank yous that I've gotten are beautifully written, handwritten thank yous from the World War II veterans that are just so thankful. And, you know, for them to be making the sacrifices that they have, you know, they're just so thankful for this experience. And so, yeah, we definitely wanted to support that. And it just didn't seem right to, you know, take funds for this. It just, they're the ones that sacrificed, and they're the ones that gave us the freedoms to be able to make a book like this. So,
Tori, how can we find your book, Journey Home?
I have a website. It's www.redbirdjourney.com.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
I also have the book in tattered cover, Amazon. But going through my website comes from me. So I'll be packaging it up, sending it out. That way more money goes to Honor Flight going that way. So
very good. And what was the website again?
redbirdjourney.com.
Very good. Well, Tori, thank you so much for being our guest today. Tori Meyer, author of Journey Home, a children's book to help us learn about veterans and their service. Thanks for being our guest on Faith and Family today.
Thank you, Andy.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.